Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you may throw your rock, hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man. But as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar, go and tell that midnight rider, tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter, tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Revolution Radio. We're waiting for our host to unmute himself. Hello, Red, are you there? You can hear me. Okay. All right. Let me see. Terry, can you try to call back in again? And good evening, Red. Are you there? Can you hear me?
I am present and accounted for.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening. We're trying to get Terry in there. He's not muted. But he's going to try to call in again, and hopefully that'll start. How are you this evening, Red?
Well, I had a good day. I got work done, and I had a good piece of fresh squash pie, not pumpkin pie.
Oh, there,
my house.
My.
Around my house, we don't raise pumpkins. We raise squash, and I can't tell the difference. So,
wow, that's great.
I'm well fed here, and looking forward to the program. I'm kind of anxious to get a report on what's going on in Montana. I just talked to a fellow in Montana this afternoon, and he said there was an article in the Daily Missoulian today about the water thing, but I didn't have a chance to bring it up to see what it had to say.
Yeah, well, let's catch up, and let me see, Terry, are you there? Terry, we still can't hear you. You are unmuted. Did he say it was about a Sanders County meeting?
He didn't say what it was. He said it was just on that water thing.
Yeah. Yeah, there was. Let me see. Terry's. Hang on a second. Let me find out what's going on with Terry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Terry, I see you. You can hear me, right? I'm talking to Terry. I see you, but we can't hear you. And you are unmuted. Okay, if you hear me, you are unmuted. So you want to try calling in through your cell, see what's up with Skype, or check your connections. Make sure that you haven't muted yourself. Because Red is here and we're talking. And if you can call in with your cell, maybe that's what will it might be the best. Well, Red, if we while we're waiting for Terry, there was a meeting of the pro-compact people in Sanders County down in, let's see, where was it? Yeah, down in Sanders County in Thompson Falls. And they had, they didn't invite the opposition, but they wanted to try to put a debate on. So the state people showed up and the tribe, but they could not answer questions. And it's very apparent that the state strategy, frankly, of divide and conquer has worked brilliantly.
Divide and conquer.
Right. Hang on. Now let's see. Terry, are you there?
Can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. I'm going to hang
you
up.
I can hear you.
I'm going to hang you up on the other, okay?
Okay.
On Skype, and you can try to call in again on Skype.
Okay.
But please stay on the line so we can start the show.
The show's...
Are you there?
I'm here, and you started the show just fine. I think we need to get a prayer in, but I wanted to hear
That's
your
right.
report.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, we're waiting for you, and good evening, gentlemen. And look forward to the show, too. And Terry, welcome.
Red, would you like to open us with a prayer?
I can. Heavenly Father, we come to you knowing that we're so powerless without your help and without your Holy Spirit to prompt us and inspire us and give us the words to speak. We pray, dear Lord, that you would look down on us tonight, look down on our audience, and help us that we might all profit and be blessed by what is done here tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, because you have helped us so many times in the past, given us words to speak and the things to speak. And we just pray now that you would bless our efforts tonight to communicate with our fellow Americans. And we'll give you the praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Red. Well, Kate, continue with your report, because I know Red's excited to hear about that, and I didn't want to interrupt that. And
Thank you. Well, we've been doing pretty well. I think I sent these to you, Red, but we've produced a big report, a review, and then we produced a proposed alternative compact, and it's been all over the state, and we've been out to county commissioners, and we just now got the tribal comments. We just sent them a courtesy copy, and the comments are, I don't know, let's put it this way, say defensive or basically just we have uncovered the strategy, and they're might be at a loss for words. But anyway, it's the same response we've gotten initially the whole year about why this supposed compact is supposedly so good. So anyway, there are some articles coming up. There's a big meeting in September with a committee that's just stacked with proponents of the compact, except we have some good... Yes?
I don't want to, I hate to interrupt you, but I don't know that the listeners know what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm working on a water rights issue in Montana involving Indian tribes, the state, irrigators, and so forth. And so I'm just giving a brief update on that. I can't give you the whole strategy as much as I would like to, but there's a big meeting coming up with the legislature. We're working with the legislature. And I guess I'm going to have to leave it there, except to say, with respect to our topic tonight, once you uncover information, once you discern what is going back, what is going on, and once you put the word out and people see it, it's impossible to turn back unless you are a willing partner to deception and self-deception. So what I feel we've done this whole time is unpeel this thing, is take the covers off of it and really lay it bare. And it's not sufficient. They could do a better job. There is another agenda going on that has nothing to do really with the settlement of these water rights. So with regard to, like I say, discernment, this has been a very interesting process. So how about that if I leave it right there for now?
Yeah, I think it would be maybe good if you could just say a little bit about the difference between this water compact versus all of the other ones that have been approved through the state.
This is the first the amount of water being awarded is something like 52 million acre feet of water, which is 52 times the largest amount of water that any tribe has been awarded in any litigation or negotiation in the United States ever. And it's certainly more than the six other Montana tribes that have compacts. This is also the first compact to award water rights off the reservation. And this is a big bone of contention because there's a lot of question about the legality of that and the nature of that water right compared to the water right that's supposed to be addressed. So it is unfortunately the United States using its wards to our detriment. It's literally seizing control of land and water in western Montana. And this, of course, relates to the larger agenda of Agenda 21 and the New World Order and the erasing of boundaries and the using of minorities, blacks, Indians, Spanish, Hispanic people, using of minorities to achieve a national agenda or an agenda that is held by individuals at the national level. And what we know from who Obama's people are in Interior and the way this government has given up and the structure of the state governments and who's in power, there is a concerted effort to literally just give it all away, to lock up land and water everywhere that it can be done and to kick people off the land. The Wall Street Journal, of all places, had an article called Rural Cleansing, which is what this kind of is just eliminating people off the land in rural America, seizing it for endangered species, wilderness, any other purpose, using Indian tribes and, the guilt associated with what happened, and using that to basically give everything back to the tribes as if it was way back then during the treaty time. But it's like to fracture and divide. So it's discernment is the only way that you can move through this and see what it is and act properly, because not every action is appropriate when this is going on. And that's why you have to seek the guidance that comes from reading scripture and from having faith through Jesus Christ, with God. I mean, just having that fundamental sounding board, your Bible at hand, are the tools to discern. And I have to say, that's one thing that's made, I believe, this effort successful in Montana to expose this, is that kind of discernment and most certainly that kind of guidance. So I'm very grateful to have seen what I've seen here and contributed to other people seeing it as well, because the cat's out of the bag. This particular water deal is not a good deal. So fix it. Or shut up, or sit down. And anyway, so that's where we're at.
Well, you've been called to this, have you not?
Yes. A year ago. It was a year ago in August. It was the final event that made it very clear that I had to come here. So I managed to get here in November, and I've been here since then. And I know that this phase of the work being called here is probably coming to an end, or perhaps it's a new beginning in about mid-September. I don't know what happens after that or what the landscape will look like. But right now it doesn't feel like I'm leaving this place anytime soon.
Well, you've become a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I sure like Montana.
Yeah, I wish I were there. As you have found out, I have a lot of tracks tracks in that part of the world.
I think
and
you are
so,
still here, Red. Mm-hmm.
I'm thrilled to death that you're there because. That water thing has been brewing and it's been just cooking for years. And, boy, I'll tell you, those Agenda 21 people, the UN, the One Worlders and such, they thought they were going to pull it off. They thought they were going to get that the largest body of fresh water west of the Continental Divide. They thought they were going to get control of it. And I think they are having nightmares at this point because there's been a lot of propaganda, a lot of fraud, a lot of sneaky political stuff going on. And now that has changed thanks to Dr. Kate. And I'm just so glad that you're there.
Thank you, Red. Thank you. What a blessing.
And working with some people who have discernment.
That's right. And some who have absolutely none, even within our own group. And that's what I mean. Actions are very important here at this point. Like, there are a lot of people right now who want to punch somebody in the nose because, as Red was saying, the fraud has been brewing and it's been showing itself in many other things. And there's a lot of corruption here. And there are people who want to, like I say, punch somebody in the face. And totally understanding that, but that's all they need. Is to be able to say, see, these people are just violent. And, so it's this important time of discernment right now to make it through even the local issues.
You know what I've thought about this, Dr. Kate. It is so phony. They using the Indian tribes, and there aren't any Indians left. They're all pretty much gone. They have married into people that are non-tribal, and now it's it's third, fourth generation. That are involved because they opened the reservation in 1904, wasn't it? 1910?
Yes.
And started
1908.
Selling off.
Mm-hmm.
What?
1908,
and they started selling off property. And, of course, the native people, the Aborigines, their children were going to school with the settlers' children, and the loggers and the farmers and such. And there was intermarrying way, way back. And so this very idea that somebody with a 16th Indian blood can call themselves a tribe, a tribal member, and have all these rights is absolutely preposterous. It's just not, it doesn't make good sense in any way. And of course, I think there's probably more people that claim to be Indians that are probably a 16th in the bloodline than there is at anything under 8, you know, anything under half. There's anybody that claims to be half at this point, I don't think there's very many of them. Very few.
Well, it's, you know, and it's, I don't know, it's just been so misused, again, with that, the federal government certainly takes advantage of that, and it's bringing that back as if to repair what they did in 1855.
Sure.
And it gets everybody on the emotional level rather than seeing that this is a land grab and a water grab. Hello? That's all it is, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's part of this long-range plan.
Yes.
For global government.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because things will be done by watershed and by, you know, the species, you know, distribution of the species. So it's a whole mindset. There, it really is an assault on our way of being. And it's definitely a spiritual assault because people don't, they get lost. They get lost in these tremendously emotional, either anger or desperation, or get to a place where their actions just show that they're lost. And that's what they do. That's what Satan does. That's what happens. And those are the tools that have to be used to destroy the American will and to destroy our ingenuity and to destroy our individual sense of self and responsibility, to me. So it's a full-on assault, and they're, you know, getting closer and closer to the front door and to your tap for water and to everything.
I think that you said something there that we need to a direction that we need to go, and that you mentioned Satan, and you know, in international news, it's the propagandists are really working overtime at this point. And I don't know how many times in the last 3 or 4 days, and I don't watch much television news, but I've heard it, I don't know how many times, that there's probably a renewal of the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
This is propaganda. It is absolutely as false and fraudulent as it can be. This idea, and because you know, well, we've all heard this about this Al Qaeda threat that they were going to do some kind of a major false flag or something, and they may well do that, but if we would just understand what's going on out here, we would be able to grasp what's happening. Now, my own personal opinion is that the Israeli Mossad control both the Al-Qaeda thing, because I think it's mostly talk. I don't think it's that much, you know, as far as a power structure or anything else. But I think that the Israeli Mossad, they control the Al-Qaeda, and they control the U.S. CIA. I don't think there's any question about that for anybody that understands how these people operate. And, of course, the Israeli Mossad, they're working for this global government. They want this global government. Because they think that they are going to control this global government because they're God. You know, we went through this years and years and years of Cold War. We're all of an age bracket on the show here that remember this. And, you know, we just were not taught that there's another war that's been going on even before Adam and Eve, and that was between Lucifer and our Creator God. And, you know, there's a major war going on there and has been for many, many centuries. And all these little wars like the Cold War, these all fit into that picture. And I think that we need to grasp the fact that there is a war going on between Lucifer and our Heavenly Father for dominion of planet Earth. When our Heavenly Father created Adam and Eve, he gave them a commission. He said, I want you to take dominion of planet Earth. And, you know, that battle has been going on for all these centuries, and I think we need to understand that to be able to better understand this water battle and Agenda 21, the globalists, and all of this. I think we need to understand the biggest battle of all, and that is between our Heavenly Father and a small g god named Lucifer. And probably I'm off on a tangent here, but I don't think so. So I'll see what... Kate, Dr. Cape, and Terry, what do you have to contribute to this?
Well, I think we need to get toward our subject matter. There might be some people. I don't know if you two saw the email promo that I put out tonight or not, but let's see if I can pull that up real quick and just mention it to you in case. I put in there, discernment in the face of the bankster elitist, destruction of our republic and our planet. So that's where I'd kind of like to take the discussion tonight. And, Kate, you kind of brought this idea up. So let me launch it just real quick and then have you come in and get an idea of where you'd like to see the conversation go. It is my belief... I won't speak for the whole gang here. I'll just speak for myself for the moment. But it's my belief that we have been in a conspiracy for many decades now. Perhaps it started when our country started, at least, and accelerated after the Cotton War, and certainly took a big jump forward when these elitist banksters finally got control of our money supply, and with the fraudulent ratification of the 16th Amendment, which Red is obviously very close to, and the creation of the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal nor reserve. We know it's a privately held central bank. But since then, they have bought almost every information and education system that we have in this country. They've controlled all of the major media. They've infiltrated our pulpits with stuff, 501c3 fraudulent requirements, because that's not law. But as a result of that, they've been able to escalate everything else that they've been doing in order to try to take full control and reclaim our Creator's creation. They want to, they're literally fighting our Creator, our Father in heaven. They are taking him off the top of the pecking order, and they've been murdering people, they've been fomenting wars, they've been creating diseases in laboratories, they now are controlling our weather patterns. They control the FDA to the point where none of our medical cures can come forward. They thwart those. They've stolen advanced technology and hidden it to benefit their control of oil and other resources. The power companies, they control our government. They control our courts. They're trying to destroy our borders. They don't want any pure races on the earth. They're trying to wipe out all pure races. You know, some people get concerned about white. Well, guess what? They're after all the pure races. It doesn't matter whether it's Asian or Spanish or, you know, what it is. They want it completely mongrelized, because they themselves came from a mongrelized, pagan-worshipping country and heritage, and now they worship Lucifer. So they don't care about life, they don't care about rights, they don't care about anything like that, because their idea is to make themselves a god. And so that is what we are facing today, and it factors into the prophecies that have been laid out in Scripture. So if we read what the Scripture has to say, we have to believe that there's a possibility that we're in those final days when things are going to escalate, and a lot of people on the earth are going to die from a number of different causes. The water supply is going to go bad, that we're going to have problems with things in the heavens, and famine and just all sorts of different things hitting us, earthquakes and wars, etc. We've already been experiencing some of those great wars. And these people have been fomenting it because they finance both sides and they make a fortune off of it. How is someone who is wanting to follow the Scripture, to follow the Word, follow the commandments of our Father in heaven and His Son, how do we maintain our composure? How do we exercise discernment? And what does that mean? What does that look like given the battle, the spiritual battle that we're in the midst of? Kate, did I lay that out okay? Kate, are you muted?
Yes, I was muted. Thank you.
Did I leave you speechless?
Yeah, that too. That too, Terry. You know, in let me look at like a couple phases of this or a couple aspects. First, the key discernment that I think is essential is that this is Satan and his workings. And what they are doing is of course we all know what's supposed to be coming at the end times, but that gets people, you know, thinking about other things, or I don't know exactly what I'm saying there, but to focus that these are Satan's chosen, and if Scripture were not true, then why are these guys doing what they're doing right now? They know that what's in the Bible is true. Satan's people know that. So in the broadest brush, and yes, it probably sounds totally crude, but it's correct. is satanic, and these are Satan's people. And so we can get bought in the weeds of all of this, or we can pull back and see, discern from the broadest standpoint that this is Satan. So then from there, what are the tools to defeat Satan? But so from that standpoint, I know it's the banksters. And I think right now the banksters to me are Satan's chosen. And this, I mean, do you think that this, that is true, that God will use Satan's chosen to bring things along, or is this just Satan's creation by himself?
Well, I have no doubt that Yahweh and Yahushua and Ruach HaKodesh, being the names of those that are Trinity in heaven, I have no doubt that they were fully aware of what's happening and what's going to happen, start to finish. They can see the whole parade, not just the park we're in a minute, in at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I trust in that they have that knowledge. So prophecy could certainly foretell exactly what they're going to do. And to some extent, their hearts have been hardened. So they're acting under the control of the Father, even though they think they're resisting him.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that all of this has to come to fruition before, you know, the day of the Lord happens.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, did that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. And then as we, you know, as we are prone to do as humans, is to sort of boil it down, okay, what does that mean for me today and what can I do? I think my own evolution in my own understanding, having worked at the national level and concerned about the national and international levels, and expending a lot of energy, my blog, for example, a lot of energy on those issues, is that that is not where we as individuals are going to make any change at this point, because that broad piece, the wars, that is written. It's going to happen. That is in so far outside of our immediate experience that, to me, the only thing that can be done there is prayer. You know, I'm not giving up. Of course, I'm going to speak up on what I see and to research and continue to speak out. But as far as spending all this energy up there, no, that's a waste. And that is also a satanic drain, because to work on that level, it seems to me that you have to think like that. So I want to get above that, and I think getting above that level is prayer. And one of those clear prayers is, even so, Lord Jesus, come. You know, like, come on, please, bring it on. Because it's hard to imagine what goes on. Now, so for me then, and where I am right now, what it means for me as a spiritual person, as a believer, as a knower, is that I have to exercise that discernment and that discipline every day in what I do. And whether it is, frankly, talking with somebody at the grocery store, or doing the work that I'm doing right now, or getting ready to go into battle with the state at an open forum in September, this is where my roots have to be, and that's where the discernment and the recognizing Satan's forces. Now, what is going on here, as Red was saying, is satanic. It is a satanic force. And you can see the individuals who are promoting this are really lost. That's about the best thing I can say. They are lost. Because anything else, I would probably make this show an R-rated show. Although it probably is to the powers that be who are listening already. But it that seems to me to be a major piece of what discernment is. It's practicing. Here's, you know, so let's define it. What I see it as is recognizing a number of steps in discernment is recognizing what God wants. What is it what God wants? We have now reconciled a lot to the help of both you and Red, Terry, that if we lose this compact battle here, it was meant to be that way. God meant for it to happen, just like God meant for me to come here and meant to gather these various people. And we've had that blessing and that grace to be able to open this up. So recognize what God desires. What's he calling you to do? What's the issue? And I think we have to practice not just thinking about this in the shower or, you know, just as you're taking a walk, but maybe start putting some things down, writing it down. And then to discover and name the issue. Okay, all right, this is an Indian water rights settlement. Is that the issue? No. This is Agenda 21. That's what the issue is. Name it. And even though it is that broader issue, again, it's the local context in which to discern the types of actions you have to take to defeat that larger agenda. So I think, again, and I hope I'm not going off too long here, but I think after you recognize what God wants and discover and name the issue, then you have to gather and evaluate the data. And this is where we've talked about where you hear various people say things that are going to be happening and you check it with scripture. Or you find the places, you study that. That's what the value of our first educational system in the churches was and what could be again, even in the churches now, if there was one day a week at least where you had that time to look at all the current events within the context of scripture. And the current issues, to study it and evaluate it. And then we have to pray and reflect from everything we know and to ask for guidance. And then a decision comes on what might be necessary to do. So rather than jumping into something, discernment requires that you slow down and not assume that you know what to do. But to know that there's another plan, there's another war, there's another source of power than your own mind, clearly, to apply to this situation, which just could be a water compact. But no, it's a much bigger issue. And again, with this, I can't help but thinking as I look at these mountains, this is what it must have been like for Christ in the wilderness to be shown this bounty that all could be his if he followed Satan, and he refused. But somebody follows Satan's stuff, and you can see them standing on top of these mountains here looking at the bounty saying, wow, this is mine, and I'm going to be God over this, small g. That's mine. That's exactly what Satan said in his tantrum. I'm going to sit in his throne, and I'm going to be higher than him, and I'm going to be better than him. I'm going to be God. And that's what I see going on here. So let me stop there before I totally put you both to sleep.
Red, would you like to jump in?
Well, you know, to hear Dr. Cape expound on this stuff. I look back to 2009 At the Third Continental Congress, the first time I met Dr. Kate, and what I have seen is a real thrilling thing because she is demonstrating what God can do and will do for people who make themselves available. And as I have said so many times in the past on this program, we have to have a spiritual strength. The Apostle Paul, when he was facing the executors, the execution, he says, "I've run the course." He had established a record, and that record is with us yet to this day. And what a record! And they executed him, but what they really did was promote him. You know, I've over the years, when I was traveling extensively, speaking all over the country, I would always try to close the session with a question and answer time, and almost invariably somebody would say, "Well, aren't you afraid that they're going to waste you, that they're going to do something to get you out of circulation?" I used to kind of laugh at it, and I'd say, if they rub me out, they're just promoting me. They're promoting me. The Apostle Paul was promoted. When they executed him, he was promoted, and we have the record. And this, you know, is so important that, you know, knowing that we've got these globalists, that we've got these money changers, that we're in the temple in Christ Day in the Federal Reserve today, we've got these people, and if all we do is gather this information and store it in our own minds, if we don't establish a record where we work with other people to pass on the information that we have, and the truth. I shouldn't call it information. I should just say truth. If we have access to the truth, don't just stash it away someplace in the back of your mind. Make sure that you become a spokesperson for truth, so that you are establishing a record. There's going to be a lot of people come before the great judge at some point, and they're going to suddenly recognize that they don't have the kind of record that they would like to have had at that point in time. And so this program, I'm hoping that there are people listening to this program tonight that are gathering in this truth, so that they are better equipped to be a record maker, someone that is making a record and helping other people to learn truth. And so Dr. Kate has come a long way since the Continental Congress, Third Continental Congress in November of 2009, I think that's the right year, isn't it?
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that's right. And
yes,
this is only, it'll be 4 years in November. And so Dr. Kate has been, you know, she found truth, and she is not just storing it in the back of her mind. She is trying to help a lot of other people, and I'm sure that she has done that in Western Montana. And so we have so much to be thankful for, and we need to look back and see, you know, the things that our Heavenly Father has done for us. And he'll do a lot more if we'll continue to make ourselves available and do what we can to expose this small G false god and his minions, his people. You know, you look back at Eve in the Garden of Eden, and Lucifer lied to her, the serpent lied to her, said, ye shall be as gods. And we have a lot of people in our world right now that have accepted that challenge from Lucifer. I can't see Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve or whatever, I can't see him on television, but what I think of this. He has, you know, he has sold his soul to this small G false god. Oh, no, he isn't going to say that, but his actions, his conduct, what he has done to the American people and to our world, these globalists, they've got a different kind of a heaven that they're working on than what you and I are looking forward to. So with that, I'll pass it on to you, Terry.
Well, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. I'm just going to read it real quick. For everyone partaking of milk is inexperienced in the word of righteousness, for he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, whose senses have been trained by practice to discern both good and evil. I believe what we're dealing with here is some pretty solid food. And I'm really glad to be in the company of some folks whose senses have been very well trained. There's been a lot of discussion about who should we include if we, you know, if you're putting together a group of people that you want to take to the fight, to take to the battle. Who should we include in this patriot movement, freedom movement, whatever label you want to put on it, constitutionalist, et cetera? There's a lot of talk about, well, you know, do we let the atheists, do we let people who are, you know, whatever religion, or whether they believe in God or not, do we include them? You know, and then there's this talk about, you know, tolerance, for example, and coercion. And you look at the people on the left, and they're the ones that preach the most about being tolerant, yet they're the least tolerant people that I know of. And the people who in the religious circle want to preach that tolerance are also some of the most coercive and intolerant people I know of. So the question is, who do you include? Well, I don't want to exclude people. I don't want to approach it that way. But the fact of the matter is that our enemy understands very clearly what this battle is about. They know it's a spiritual battle. Our enemy are humanists. They worship self. They want to be gods. So anybody who is not willing to surrender self and let the Father in heaven go before them and let him sit on their throne, they're just like the enemy. How can we defeat the enemy by being like them? So I want to be able to fight for any man's right to worship or not worship, or have faith or not have faith. I believe in that freedom. I believe in that free will. That's the way our Father in heaven set it up. And I believe that's the way it should be. So I'll fight for that atheist's right to be an atheist, but I don't want him going to battle with me because he doesn't really understand the battle we're walking into and can easily fall into the traps of the enemy. So this is a discussion that's been going on, and I keep getting in these discussions and wanting to be an inclusive person, not wanting to reject people or shut them out or say, you know, you can't join this party. But at the same time, there's a problem here. I think we've got to be like a lot like, you know, Yahweh told Gideon. I'd like to get your guys' feedback on what I just said. Okay.
I was just going to say, thank you. I was just going to say we must be as Gideon. That's what it is, because the large stuff that tea parties and, you know, big parties generally are trying to organize right now can never be as discerning as what you just described. Could never be. Because of this inclusiveness and all of that stuff. And at some point, people are going to realize that all that stuff about inclusiveness and not cutting people out and all of that, that is, again, kind of an invention, you know, kind of a, you know, the political correctness thing and exclusion and the racism and all of that stuff. That is just stuff that we can use to divide ourselves. And so... I think the answer is that it's a small group of people wherever we are, and they are believers, they are knowers. And I also believe that when the time comes that those people will be drawn together, and it will be something that individuals have discerned that it's time. And we will know who people are, I believe. And at that time, I think that the calling will be there. And wherever that is, whether it's local or whether it's in different parts of the country or whether it's on small issue like this one. So... I think those questions right now, do we include atheists and all of that, are irrelevant. I mean, I know what you're saying, but you know what I'm saying to me, with the spiritual battle in front of us, it's just like, duh. I mean, you know, you either believe or you don't. And if you don't, we don't need you on the front lines of a spiritual battle. Sorry.
Red?
In one of those full-page ads that I ran in America Free Press, I mentioned how that in the freedom movement in this country, I don't call it the Patriot Movement that much. I prefer to call it the freedom movement. Over the years, I've seen a lot of people come and go, getting involved and then disappearing on us, and one thing another. And I brought out how that over the years I have more or less tried to identify people who have been hired by the U.S. government to infiltrate into the movement and talk a good line and make themselves available for leadership, and the leadership that they give is fraudulent. They'll give bad advice to people, and it gives the Internal Revenue Service the victims. You see, people probably never thought of it. The IRS, they really need tax protesters. They need them so that they can terrorize them, they can prosecute them, they can send them to prison and all of this. And their stories, of course, end up on the front page of our propaganda media. And so they use these victims to create more terror out there and get people to try their best to make sure they don't run afoul of the Internal Revenue Service and such. And I don't know why, but it really, that little deal I had there in America Free Press really got a lot of people thinking about what I was saying. And I've had some very interesting phone calls and from people that have recognized leadership in the freedom movement, the patriot movement, the tax protest movement, whatever you want to call it. They have seen these kind of things happen. And it's something, when people call me and want to discuss this and talk about it, I tell them, I say, if the leadership that you are exposed to in our freedom movement, if they do not talk about the spiritual aspect of this war that we're in, if they don't teach it, if they don't have a life that projects this, if they don't understand that it's a spiritual war, it's not a political war, and if your leadership rejects anything Christian or you know, God-given rights and all of this, they don't want to talk about that. They have pretty well identified themselves as being infiltrators into our movement, into our into our midst. And we have to be very much aware of these people because they can get you in an awful lot of trouble. And so this has just become something rather standard with me here in the last month or two since that article came out, that ad, I should say, that I paid for, talking about government-paid provocateurs, but they come in. They're smooth talkers. They're well-trained. They're talking about some special way to avoid the Internal Revenue Service and such, and they get people in trouble. This is something that the enemy does. They are very good at it, and we have to be aware of it. So if they don't, and this is what I'm trying to say is, if they don't project a Christian attitude and lifestyle, if they don't attitude or talk about spiritual things, if they don't understand, if when you talk to them, if they don't want to hear about spiritual things, this great war between a small G and a capital G God, if they're not into this, it should bring up some red flags that you want to pay attention to, because these individuals may very well be government, employees put into your midst to lead astray, and of course, I have to say, and I don't, it bothers me no end when I think about so many of the ministers supposedly in their pulpits should be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they don't want to talk about this kind of thing. They don't want to go there. Well, this tells me something about who they are and where they come from, and so and I think that just kind of goes with our discussion here tonight, and so I'll go back to you, Terry.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right. I'm on Skype. I'm not on my cell phone anymore. Well, I'd really like to kind of look at some scripture tonight. I don't know how well that plays with our listeners, and I'm not sure I care. But
I love it.
I'd kind of like to look at some scripture. Let's look at. Is it okay, Kate? Do you have something else you wanted to say before I read this? You muted yourself again. Well, I'll just launch in. I'm looking at Proverbs chapter 3, and I was trying to figure out what part of it I wanted to read, and I'm just going to read the whole thing. It says, "My son, do not forget my Torah, and let your heart watch over my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they add to you. Let not kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, thus finding favor and good insight in the eyes of Elohim and man. Trust in Yahweh with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Know him in all your ways, and he makes all your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Revere Yahweh, and turn away from evil. It is healing to your navel and moistening to your bones. Esteem Yahweh with your goods and with the first fruits of all your increase. Then your storehouses shall be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the discipline of Yahweh, and do not loathe his reproof. Whom Yahweh loves, he reproves, as a father the son whom he delights in. Baruch, which means blessed, is the man who has found wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, for the gain from it is better than gain from silver, and its increase than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all your delights are not comparable to her. Length of days is in her right hand, riches and esteem in her left hand. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of Chi, which means life. She is a tree of life to those taking hold of her, and Baruch are all who retain her. Yahweh founded the earth by wisdom. He established the Shamayim by understanding. Shamayim is heavens. He established the heaven by understanding. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and clouds dropped down dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Watch over sound wisdom and discretion. Then they become Chi to your being and an adorning to your neck. Then you would walk safely in your way, and your foot would not stumble. When you lie down, you need not be afraid, and you shall lie down, and your sleep shall be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden dread, nor the ruin of the wicked when it comes. He doesn't say if it comes, nor the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for Yahweh is at your side. And he shall guard your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I'll give it to you, when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor, seeing he dwells safely beside you. Do not strive with a man without cause, if he has done no evil, he's done you no evil. Do not envy a violent man and choose none of his ways. For the perverse man is an abomination to Yahuwah, and his secret counsel is with the straight. The curse of Yahuwah is on the house of the wicked. But he Barak the home of the righteous. He certainly scoffs the scoffers, but gives favor to the humble. The wise inherit esteem, but fools are bearing away shame. You know, I read that and I think about the people who are talking about having their guns and ammunition to keep from giving a neighbor your food. And I listen to some of the folks now who are saying it's time to get physical with this thing. It's time to fight. We're not going to change anything if we don't go out there and take the aggression against them. And I look at this and I go, wait a second, you know, our Father in heaven has certainly been willing to go to battle. He's willing to confuse the enemy. He's willing to have them destroy themselves. He's willing to protect us. He's willing to sustain us eternally. He's willing to even for us to go into a fight if that's what's required. But from what I'm reading here, we'd better let him take us into that battle, because if we try to go into that battle in that way and be violent, I don't know that I can say for sure he's going to go with me. And I want to be sure that the way I fight this battle, he's with me, because it's the only way I believe we can win it. Kate, Red? Not hearing you, Kate.
Can you hear me now?
I hear you, Red. Go ahead.
Yeah. I think that, I like the way our discussion has gone here this evening, because we're communicating or trying to communicate with our audience out there strictly on understanding the spiritual. And I think we just have to really stress that if we don't understand the spiritual, then you're going to end up being used by the wrong people that would promote this violence and such. And there may be a time for this violence, but it isn't here now. And of course, you mentioned people wanting to get more weapons and ammunition so that they can protect their food supply from their neighbor. This is not the kind of thinking that I think a Christian should have. I think that our Heavenly Father can do a much better job of protecting us and making things happen to where we are taken care of ourselves personally. Our Heavenly Father has so many ways to make sure that we're fed and protected from the weather and all of that kind of thing. It may not be the kind of fancy quarters. It won't be a five-star hotel, perhaps. But our Heavenly Father, if we act as Christians, if we, follow his style of living, Christ didn't have a place to lay his head. But God took care of him, and he always ended up with a place to lay his head, I'm sure. And, he'll do the same for us if we have been faithful, if we have lived as he would have us to live, and he would have us to be totally dependent upon his mercy and his help in everything that we do. And so we're coming to a time here when, if all of these problems, if Matthew 24 is fulfilled here in the near future,
let me read a couple of verses of that.
Go ahead. That would fit in here.
This is Matthew 24:22-27. And in those days,
Matthew 24:22. Go ahead.
And if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the sake of the chosen ones, those days shall be shortened. If anyone then says to you, look, here's a Messiah, or there, do not believe him. For false messiahs and false prophets shall arise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen ones. See, I have forewarned you. So if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe. For as the lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the bane of Adam be. For wherever, that's enough. This is interesting, because I believe he's speaking to this day specifically. Generally speaking to a lot of times, but I believe that this warning that he's given us here is particularly strong for where we are today. In the last week, I've seen more stories. I've seen as many in a week as I normally see in a month or two. Misleading things, everything from people saying that there's going to be billions of people wiped out by a asteroid coming in, and they look at what happened at Russia here, that asteroid that came, or big meteor, whatever it was, that came in a little bit ago, a few months ago, the size of a 10-story building or whatever. But they take these things, and some of it is controlled opposition. Some of it is, our enemy knowing that there's going to be opposition, so they confuse it and they put stuff out there that's false, so that people finally get so desensitized that they will not listen to anything, whether it's true or not. And in the last week, it's just like been an explosion of that kind of stuff. And I look at this and I'm going, and let me just real quick look at, I think it's Colossians 2:8-10 too. Yeah. See to it that no one makes a prey of you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary matters of the world, and not according to the Messiah. Because in him dwells all the completeness of the Almighty bodily, and you have been made complete in him, who is the head of all principality and authority. Go ahead, Red.
I just haven't had an opportunity to get in on a discussion like we're having tonight for a long time. And I think that it's something that we have failed to do somewhat in the past, to sit gather and discuss things like this, and I think we're going to have to do more of it here in the days ahead. We want to strengthen each other, our faith. We need to, well, Christ, before he ascended into heaven, he said, "Ye shall be my witnesses." When we see the power of our Heavenly Father working in our midst and working with people, like with Dr. Kate, there's no question in my mind but what the Holy Spirit has been very active in her life and enabling her to be what God wants her to be. And I hope she don't mind talking this way. You know, I just think that the days ahead, we need to strengthen each other every chance we have. And when we have seen a demonstration of God's power and his will, we need to share it with our fellow Christians and help people to become stronger and more committed as we learn about these things that our Heavenly Father is doing in our day. And so, you know, I've told people about Dr. Kate and her conversion, and that it was so powerful. And I remember in my younger days, back in the 30s and the 40s, seeing some very powerful conversions where people really had a real, you know, a powerful transfusion of God's power into their lives. And, of course, we have not seen that much in the last 30 years or so, simply because we've had that falling away that the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We have seen that falling away, but with what is happening to people out there right now, we can see people coming back. Are having these great experiences where they have a chance to witness the power of their Heavenly Father. And I'm convinced that just in the last several months here, in the last year, actually, ever since that International Council conference that 120 different nations on planet Earth had a week conference in Tehran, Iran, last late August and early September of last year. We have seen some things happen, and I'm being reminded almost on a daily basis of Daniel 12:2. Or 12:4, I should say, Daniel, the 12th chapter in the 4th verse, where the prophet said in the last days, knowledge would increase. I don't think in my lifetime that I have experienced and seen and heard the massive amount of truth, all these corruption stories that are coming out from about the IRS and different things. This is not, you know, things that Satan really wants us to hear. This is something that God wants. He wants to make truth real to you and I, and he's doing that right now. And I'm hoping there's audience out there tonight that recognize truth, and I hope that there's a real thrill in their lives as they have the experience of hearing truth, and it has such value. And so I'll pass this over to Kate if she's here now, We hope she's back on here.
I am, and I actually remembered how to unmute myself. Profound. This is our discussion this evening is just amazing, and I think I really do agree that the knowledge is increasing exponentially that we have, and I dare say that also the knowledge of the gospel of the truth is there. Even our small effort to share scripture or some of the other true voices out there or one's own reading and insight that we see. And, you know, I'm struck by the verses in Matthew 24:22, but there be any intervention, no flesh would be saved. And we see that happening right now. I mean, I just did an article, I think, maybe a week ago called Smart Dust, which is about essentially the invasion of our bodies by stuff they're spraying in the sky and it turning into disease and all kinds of ailments, which there's so much autoimmune disease out there right now. There's so much of this going on. But for God's intervention, no flesh is going to be saved. Because, you know, don't you feel that, Terry, when you think about everything you've been exposed to, you think, man, you know, I don't know what's inside me right now. But this is a very important, it's a very important sign for our times. And I can't help but think that, again, we haven't talked about this really ever, but there is that controversy as well as whether, quote, the chosen or the elect will be raptured before that time. And, of course, it's very easy to see when you read Matthew and various other pieces know that we're all going through the tribulation. And, yes, it is happening now. So it's totally sobering, but it also is, what can I say, very, you live in the truth. You know, so for example, rather than dreaming about having millions of dollars so you can go on vacation to, you know, such and such and have houses all over the place, you're more concerned with other sort of basic things. And that is nothing compared to the life that we are promised after our physical body passes. Anyway, I'm sort of just getting off topic there. But again, this is just so related to what we are talking about in terms of discernment. Is that time now? And if it's not, so what? What's preventing everyone from coming to know God and to know the truth? So we create for ourselves distractions, but we have to stick with the truth of what is going on. Reading Matthew 24 is a good start, and reading the other pieces that you've read this evening, Terry, is a good start. So I'll just stop there.
Well, what's keeping them from knowing the truth primarily is their own
lack of discernment,
desires.
Right, and their own willing lack of discernment, their willing deception.
Yeah, it's just like Yuri Bezmenov said of the people of this country, that they were a willing target of subversion, and most of them still are. And I was glad to hear, you know, I was listening again today. It was really funny because I think QL on your blog posted that collectivist a lecture by G. Edward Griffin, and it's interesting that he did that because I had just got through listening to it. I mean, he posted it right after I had listened to it, and it was good to hear him remind people that it's only a 3 or 4% of the people that have always made a difference. It's never been a majority. It's always been a small number of people that have acted and changed things in the world, always historically. So I felt good that more people are waking up, and I believe that is a blessing of the Spirit. And I believe that when people hurt, they have a tendency to turn toward their God, toward the creator, toward Jesus, or what I know his name is Yahushua. And I'm seeing this happening, and I'm feeling good about the fact that we may have a Gideon situation working. We may actually have that. And the thing that I love about you, Red, is that you're always so optimistic. You always believe that there's a chance we can turn this thing around. You always believe that if we can get people in a repentant mood, that our Father in heaven will in fact turn this thing around and basically trash those that are working against him. And I believe that's possible too, but I also believe that it's a real good possibility that we may be facing an escalation of this battle right up until the time that our Savior comes. And either way, that's fine with me. I want to close tonight. When we do, we're not ready to close yet. We've got about 28 minutes left. But when we do close tonight, I want to close by reading Revelations 22, 12 through 21, the very last verses in Scripture. And because that's his final warning to us. And I believe that we got some really tough times ahead, but those of us who are seeking him and letting him sit on our throne don't need to fear that. We can meet this head on, joyfully speaking to people, letting them know that, you know, they're not alone and that there is an alternative to this, that the victory is coming one way or the other. And that's the message I think we've got to carry with us, no matter whether we're, putting together boards of review or educating people on how to be a juror and how to judge the law. The two things that we need to remember most are that the victory is assured ultimately, and that in the meantime, we need to keep Yahweh, the Father in heaven, the Creator, we need to keep him at the top of the pecking order, because that's the only way we can protect our unalienable rights, really, because they're Creator granted. But no matter what we're doing, whether it's putting together that board of review, assembling, working a recall election, working a campaign, writing articles, educating people, supporting, the Constitution, holding people accountable on their oath of office, whatever we're doing, we've got to keep these other things about the spiritual battle in our pocket all the time, ready to bring it out, ready to use it as our sword. Red?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I forget too many times whether I had muted or not. I've thought about it for many years. Satan wants every one of us dead, buried, and our dust taken back to the planet. He wants to redeem his clay because he does not like the way God created Adam. Adam took the dust of the earth, the clay of the earth, and formed a likeness of himself, and then breathed the breath of life into him, and he called him Adam. And God had a plan for Adam, and that was, of course, to take dominion of this planet. Lucifer was watching, and he determined that he had to make some kind of a move to subvert that which his creator had done. And so God had told Adam and Eve, he said, if you eat of that one tree, you're going to die. So Satan, he set about, he's going to see to it that they eat of that tree, because he wants them dead so that he can redeem that clay that God used there to form Adam. And so it hasn't been, Satan cannot take our lives without God's permission. However, there's a lot of people, millions and probably billions of people over the centuries that have died because their fellow countrymen or their enemies destroyed their lives. And so I'll never forget back in 1960s, the Six-Day War and such, and I came to the conclusion at that time that mankind had arrived at a point in our history, the history of mankind on planet Earth, mankind had reached a time where mankind could wipe themselves off of the planet. And I can assure you that there are those out there, those Satan's chosen people, that know all about this. The biological, I've not talked about the biological weapons as much as I probably should have. The biological weapons are going to be the Satan's choice, I'm sure, to destroy mankind on planet Earth. It hasn't been since, it's just been since that time period back there in the 60s where mankind has developed the bacteriological weapons that they can use to wipe man off of the face of the earth. And so I see all of these things happening today. We have, I don't know how many different nations on the face of the earth today that have developed these biological weapons that are so cheap, so easy to administer. Of course, there's a lot of talk about the chemtrails, and of course, they are definitely not in our good, looking out for our future or our best livelihood. Something diabolical going on. And so here we are at this stage of the game, and I think there's no question whatever that we're in those days that are talked about in Matthew 24. And Christ himself was telling us what was going to happen, that things were going to be the worst that we've ever seen on planet Earth. And, of course, we've got a lot of people out of work, a lot of people. They've got a big deal going in Portland, Oregon right now, trying to get the homeless off of the streets. And there's a lot of people out there that are in real, they're living in distress and duress. And not a pretty world for a lot of people out there right now. And so I think that we're going to see things get a hell of a lot worse, as I think I mentioned Terry a couple days ago on the phone. You know, we haven't seen Matthew 24 coming to pass right now. We haven't seen it. It isn't. We're not there yet. But 30 days down the road, we're going to be looking back at this point in time, I suspicion, and say those were the good old days. And because that's how this thing is progressing. It is moving so fast. And if you spend any time on that internet, why, you come to the conclusion very quickly that there is a lot of false information out there leading people astray, that's leading people in the wrong direction, the wrong into the wrong belief systems and that type of thing. And I think this is all part of bringing about the fulfillment of Matthew 24. And so it's an exciting time. If I've talked with Dr. Kate and Terry about where if we know these things, if we're aware of them, we're sitting on the 50-yard line. We can see both goalposts. We can see we got the best view of what's coming. And there's at least 98%, I think, of the people on population on planet Earth that have no clue as to what we have been talking about for the most part here this evening. And so I'm very pleased to be where I'm at. I would like to be a little younger, I guess. But God has been good. He's given me a pretty exciting life. And of course, I was thinking, I think it was Terry talking about the 3 to 5% of the people that are, you know, that actually become the movers and the shakers and make things happen. And I hadn't thought of it before, but Earlene's family, my wife, her family is quite, there's quite a host of people out there, and my family is even larger yet. I'm talking about cousins and second cousins and third cousins, I guess, and all of that. But I cannot think. There's probably, between the two families, extended family, there's 200 to 300 people at least. And I can't think of one single person in all of that crowd that are active at the point, you know, to the point where I am, where I have written extensively. I've done hundreds of radio talk shows, and I enjoy this blog radio as much as because I enjoy it, because I don't have to shave, I don't have to change my clothes or anything else, and I can do this. I can communicate with people. But it's really... you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, accept the fact that here's all this family out there, and I can't think of one single person that is active in the battle of trying to restore truth into our world. And it's up to us. We've got to do what we can, and, of course, don't forget what I've always been talking about, the record that we're making. And so, Terry, it's back to you at this point. I've meandered too far here, perhaps.
Well, I think Kate's up.
Well, I was just going right off there with you, Red, so I'll try to get back in the straight part of the river or something. I don't know. But I agree this is a very exciting time. And I believe very strongly in talking as we are talking right now. And I wish I could talk more like this. But that's a whole nother matter, because it is true that those of us who do know have an obligation to let others know what's coming down and what's going on. And it is, to have that knowledge is kind of exciting because you're actually looking ahead at eternal life, even though it's going to be terrible in between now and then. And I think that I think America will, you know, I think people in America, we are under judgment. And I think, I don't know if it really is true, God is judging our nation because we are a nation of individuals and our laws have all gone to, you know, gone to pasture. And we have strayed so far. But I do think, Terry, in terms of how this is going to play out, that there are going to be some very serious happenings here with the money and everything else. At the same time, I think that, yes, we will all be touched, but maybe not. I think biological is, and through the dispersal of biological agents through the air, I think that's the way they're going to try to do as much as they can. I think the gun issue was a red herring, if you will, because they can definitely get us any other way but guns. You can't shoot a mosquito, you know, and expect to actually, you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I guess I'm just still canoeing down that river. Red, you got me in a canoe, and now I'm heading out. I think this will be an exciting time. I think it is. And honestly, the only thing I can say definitively is for you individually to make your peace and to get to know him and to let him into your life, because that is the only way you're going to make it. I have to tell you that, you know, I've ended up in my life single and with no children. And that dismays me, although I didn't even think about it, frankly, until, you know, I was past the age. And when I realized that, I also realized that why not ask to say, if you need someone, send me, because I think many of us are going to be martyred, and who knows, I might be one of them, but just because of where I've ended up in my life. But certainly this can't be no accident, and there is something out there besides a career, thank goodness. Terry?
You got quiet. I didn't know if it was my Skype connection or what.
No, I ended because I think I'm just going too far off the base.
I was looking for a scripture. I know it's in Nehemiah 4. It's in Nehemiah, I'll start in 17, who were building on the wall. This is when they were, this is obviously after 722, and they'd been in exile, and then in the 7th century, I believe, Nehemiah came back and organizing the folks to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. And he's talking about here, he says, who were building on the wall and those bearing burdens, those loading, working with one hand in the work and with the other holding a weapon. As for the builders, each one had his sword girded at his side as he built. And the one who sounded the ram's horn was beside me. And I said to the nobles and to the deputy rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated far from one another on the wall. In whatever place you hear the sound of the ram's horn, join us there. Our Elohim fights for us. That scripture has has come up to me in my mind with nobody prompting me time and time again in the last 5 years. I believe that's where we are today. We are, in essence, in the same position of rebuilding the wall here in this country. This country turned its back on God. It's under judgment. We've been taken over by an enemy who is against our God, is against Elohim. And we have to be prepared to fight. We have to be prepared to rally to one another's sides. We have to be prepared to protect our families. Those men, that's the other part of the scripture that got me. Those men were assigned to divisions of work with their own families. In other words, each man was guarding his own family and supervising his own family in the work. Now, that tells me we got to get things straight at home. We got to get things straight in our community. We got to get things straight in our county. We got to get things straight in our states before we can ever expect anything to happen on a national scale. Right there alone, just in that scripture. But the point is that you got to have a tool in one hand and a sword in the other. And the work is to build, it's not to fight. The fight is a defensive fight. If they come at us, we have to rally together and fight and water the tree of liberty. But that picture, I think we've all got to keep in our mind. I think that is the discerning picture. We have to be prepared to fight, but our work is to build. We have to put the message out there. We've got to bring people and turn their hearts, have them repent, and have them straighten out their lives and put them on a path that is a godly path. That's the path of the scripture, the word, the spirit. But be prepared to fight if we have to fight. Yahovah doesn't tell us not to fight, but he gives us a lot to do before we come to that. And I think that's what we've got to look at, and that's what we got to do here. We've got about 7 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and read that scripture of Revelation 22, and then Red, you and Katie should have about a minute or two to close, make closing comments. So I'll read this, and you guys can be thinking about what you want to say. I'm going to start in 22:12. And see, I am coming speedily, and my reward is with me, to give each according to his work. I am the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Baruch are those doing his commands, so that the authority shall be theirs unto the tree of Chi, tree of life, and to enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, and those who enchant with drugs, and those who whore, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and all who love and do falsehood. I, Yahushua, have sent my messenger, being an angel, to witness these to you in the assemblies. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, and the Ruach, being the Spirit. And the bride say, come. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he who hears, let him say, come. And he who thirsts, come. And he who desires it, take the water of Chi without pain. For I witness to everyone hearing the words of the Nebuah, being the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, Yahovah shall add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of the Nebuah, being the prophecy, Yahovah shall take away his part from the book of life. And out of the Kodesh city, that's the holy city, which are written in this book, he that bears witness of these says, yes, I am coming speedily. Amen. Yes, come Adonai Yahushua. the favor of our Adon Yahushua HaMashiach be with the Kodeshim. Amen. That's the favor of the Master Yahushua, being the Messiah, be with the Kodeshim. That's those that are holy and set apart. That's his church. Amen. Each one of you got about 2.5 minutes.
I'll go first. I'm hoping that we have had people in our audience tonight who have heard this discussion and recognize that they, too, need to be become a voice that is heard, not just be someone who is talking to themselves about all the problems and the thrill or the excitement of the day in which we're living, but they need to be establishing a record of being productive in that they are out there doing what God would have them to do. And I would just have to remind them that I was just a working man. I was I didn't go to college, and I'm really glad for that today, because I don't think I would be here if I had gone to college. I'm afraid they would have messed with my brain to the point where I would have been worthless. But I've had to depend upon the Holy Spirit. I've had to depend upon the Holy Scripture. And God has been able to speak through me in ways that I would never have been able to do, except that I made myself available. And I've talked about being available in the past on these programs, and so this is what I'm suggesting right now. Our audience, please make yourselves available. You will be surprised and you will be thrilled by the response that you will have out there. If you make yourself available, the Holy Spirit is going to be right there to give you the inspiration and the help that you need. So with that, Dr. Kate, it's your time.
Amen to that. And that's what I really believe the same. Make a record. And this become more important as every day goes on for me. And I have to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Terry?
Well, I think I probably ought to close this out in a prayer since I got time left. I think I've said all I need to say tonight. And I think this was a great show, and I appreciate the two of you very much, and I hope you know that. Let's pray. Yahweh Elohim, Father of Heaven, Almighty Creator, we thank you for being with us this night in this show. We thank you for your Spirit feeling us. We're just thankful that we have you to turn to. We ask you to fight this battle with us. We ask you to turn this nation around, this country. We ask you to open hearts and minds. We ask you to help them be prepared, that they not be caught like a thief in the night. Help us to open doors and to open hearts. Help us to reach people. Help our message to be multiplied. Work with us and through us, and protect us and guide us and teach us through this whole process. We pray that you would bring those around us who would be like Gideon, who would be wise in the way that they fight this battle. that they would be builders and not fighters, but prepared to fight nonetheless. We pray that you would fight the battle for us and show us the right path. It's in the name of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, that we pray. Amen.
I'm